One reason why Jesus came to this earth was to give us life-giving water, water so that we would never thirst again. This life-giving water that comes from him that brings us the springs of salvation. And so Jesus is the one who brings us this life-giving water of the Spirit. And in the gospel today, we have a pool, and it's the pool of Bethesda. And the pool of Bethesda was an ancient pool where the people believed that an angel would stir up the pool every now and then during the day, and that whenever the sick would go down into the pool, they would be healed. And so that's what this man is talking about, that he's been ill for 38 years, and whenever the pool is stirred up, the water is stirred up, that others get there before him and are healed. And he can't get there because he's ill. He's probably crawling to the pool. It takes him a long time. And so Jesus comes to the pool, and he comes on one of the feasts of the Jews. And he comes to the pool, and he asks the man if he wants to be well. That's kind of a strange question. Think about it. If you're sick for 38 years and someone asks you, do you want to be well? Doesn't that seem like a strange question to ask someone who's been ill and sick for 38 years? And yet Jesus wants to elicit that faith out of the man. And so Jesus says to him, rise, take up your mat and walk. So it's as if the man is dead because he cannot walk. He probably has to crawl everywhere. And Jesus is the one who's the resurrection and the life. And he tells him to rise. He uses this word rise, like resurrection. He says, take up your mat and walk. And the man became well, and he takes up his mat and he walks. Now, I don't know about you. If I was sick for 38 years, I'd be dancing with that mat. If you're sick, if you know what it's like to be chronically ill, to have a chronic illness for a long time, in which you can't do things, you can't walk, and you pick up that, and now you can walk, now you're well, that man was probably dancing. He was making a commotion. And that's why the leaders came. And the only thing that they could think about was that this man was walking or dancing around, making a commotion, and that it was the Sabbath, and it was not lawful for him to carry his mat. Think about that. A man was just cured of an illness for 38 years, and all they could think of was he's violating the Sabbath. He's walking on the Sabbath. All the Sabbath says is that you shall not work on the Sabbath. But they created laws where they said you can't even take up your mat and walk on the Sabbath. See, sometimes we put law before God. Sometimes you make a God out of the law instead of worshiping God himself. That's the problem of becoming too legalistic, too Pharisaical, is that you make a God out of the law. And Jesus never wanted us to make a God out of the law. He wants to follow the law, but not to make a God out of the law. That there's the spirit of the law that is even greater. Think about this. This man, for 38 years, never truly had a Sabbath rest. If you're chronically ill for 38 years, you never have a true Sabbath rest. You're always in pain. You're always sick. You have to deal with that even on a Sabbath day as people are resting from their work. But you're still working because you're still ill. You're still sick. And so Jesus wanted to give this man a true Sabbath rest by healing him of his ills and his pains. See that? And that's why he told him, rise, pick up your mat, and walk. It's kind of a celebration of the Sabbath rest that God has given to this man. And all the authorities could think of was, this man is doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. They're judging him. And they're saying, who told you, take up your mat and walk? Take it up and walk. And the man didn't even know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away from the crowd. And then Jesus says something interesting. But he says this privately to the man. He says, look, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you. In Judaism, they always believed that an illness was connected with a sin. That if you were ill, then you must have done something wrong in your life. Now, Jesus would say later on to the man who was born blind, when the apostles ask him, you know, whose sin was it that this man was born blind? And Jesus says, neither. So it doesn't mean illness is always connected with sin. It could be connected with sin, but it doesn't mean it's always connected with sin. In this man's case, maybe there was some kind of connection between the illness and the sin. And so that's why Jesus tells him that you are well, do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you. And then the man becomes an apostle. He becomes one who proclaims Jesus. Notice Jesus never brags or boasts about his signs or his miracles or healings. Rather, he allows others to proclaim the good news. And so the man goes out and he proclaims the good news to the Jewish people, that Jesus was the one who made him well. And this proclamation of the good news, of this good news that this man is, he's made well, they can see it. They can see it right before their eyes. I'm sure they knew him. I'm sure they saw him. For 38 years. You don't miss someone who's by a pool for 38 years. You would know who that man is, what his mat looks like, what he looks like. And now you can see him walking. You can see him well. He's no longer ill. Right before their eyes, there's a sign. And what is the response to that sign of the authorities? They then begin to persecute Jesus. Now, you have to understand, when John says the Jews in this gospel, he's not being anti-Semitic here. He's talking to a Greek-speaking audience. He's talking to a Gentile audience, non-Jewish audience. And so whenever he says the Jews, he's referring to the authorities. His Jesus was a Jew. Blessed Mother was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. You see that? It doesn't mean everyone was persecuting Jesus. There means there was a select number of people of the authorities that were persecuting Jesus. And so we see this in the Gospel of John that we're reading this week in the fourth week, and also next week in the fifth week of Lent, is that as Jesus performs these signs for people to believe that he is the resurrection and the life, he is the one to give the life-giving water to those who are dead, those who are dead physically and those who are dead spiritually, that there becomes a separation between those who believe and those who do not believe. Those who believe become proclaimers of the good news, as this man proclaims the good news of Jesus, proclaims the sign. But those who do not believe then reject Jesus and begin to persecute Jesus and begin to hate Jesus. That's why when Jesus was just a child and the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph were presenting him before Simeon in the temple, Simeon had a prophecy. He could see maybe this opposition of Jesus. And he calls Jesus the sign of contradiction, that he will be for Israel the rising of many and the fall of many. That he would be the sword of contradiction by which either some will fall and some will rise. And you can see that with the opposition of Jesus. The more good that Jesus does, the more that he's opposed. The more good that he does, the more that he's even hated. By some. He's loved by some, but he's hated by others. And it's no different today. It's no different today. Jesus is still that sign of contradiction. He's either loved by some, or he's hated and rejected by others. And this is where always in these readings, these are foreshadowings of the passion of Christ. The amazing thing about the passion, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I love repeating things over and over and over again, is that the very rejection of Jesus, the very opposition against Jesus, the very rejection that leads to his passion, becomes our salvation. It's a contradiction. The more that Jesus is rejected, and the more that he takes on his passion, that rejection, even to the point of giving his life on the cross, even to the point of dying for us, where he's rejected in every single way, form, and fashion that a person on earth could be rejected. That very rejection that puts him on the cross becomes the means of our salvation. Think about that. It's a contradiction. That's why in Lent, we deal with our sins. And the first part of Lent, and I always dislike that part, but you have to go through it. You have to deal with your sins. You have to realize it's my sins that put him on the cross, my rejection of Jesus that put him on the cross. But in dealing with your very sins, knowing your misery, that's where you can look to the cross and find your salvation. It's a contradiction. Why know about your sins if you know that your sins put him on the cross? Not the sins of the past, not the Jews, not the Jewish authorities here in the gospel. My sins, my very sins put him on the cross. And yet my own sins that put him on the cross become the means of my salvation also by the mercy of Jesus. It's a contradiction. I still don't understand it. I've been meditating on it for how many years I've been on earth, and I still don't understand it. I'm preaching it. I don't understand it, but I'm preaching it. It's there. The rejection and the salvation is there all in this great mystery of Lent that leads us to the passion of Jesus Christ.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.